We spoke about tefillah many times. And the question always wasn't tefillah. The question was, how could tefillah be effective? How does tefillah work? How could it be effective? How could a person be mispalo and change that which was preordained for him by God? How could man intervene with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan for him? And that's basically what tefillah is. So we know the pasuk says Ani Hashem Lo Shaniti. There's no change in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's above change. And Lo Yishkel V'Chazev Aven Odom V'Yisnechem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't change. So since he doesn't change, how is it possible that we, through our tefillahs, should effectuate a change in God's decree? Because if man can change God, which doesn't make any sense according to our philosophy, according to our philosophy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the Yisrael Adas. So such a thing should be impossible. Okay. So we explained one time, we said that that a person in the process of tefillah undergoes change. And the whole purpose of tefillah is to evoke a change in a human being. And that's why you start off, a person is not allowed to ask his tzrach when he starts. He starts off with recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the first bracha, he recognizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is... he gives his ashgacha to people who are tzaddikim, Magen Avram. And the second bracha, he recognizes the fact that that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is omnipotent, that gvuros. And the third bracha, he recognizes the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is removed, far removed from man. Is we don't know his essence, akel HaKadosh. We do not know what his essence is. Then a person's in a situation where he could be mispal. And actually, the purpose of tefillah is to ask God really for to change the person who's petitioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu to really change his whole value system. So that in the process of tefillah, he asks God for those things which are of benefit to his soul, to his essence. And once he reaches that level through the process of tefillah, so then he undergoes a metamorphosis. So tefillah creates a metamorphosis in the personality. Because of the metamorphosis, he is roi for a change. He may be roi. He may be roi for a change in his hashgacha. Okay, and that's the concept of tefillah. We don't know whether it will be, whether it won't be. That's what the Gemara says. The person is not allowed to feel secure that he's going to be misfoul and God's going to change anything because he doesn't know. And the Gemara looks down upon people who feel very confident in their tefillahs. The Gemara says that leads to depression. The person's confident in this too, because he doesn't know. It's a possibility, but it's a rational possibility. It's rational for a person to engage in tefillah, involve himself in tefillah, in order that he should effectuate this change. So that would explain the idea. And this is the way we explained it before. But it seems in looking into tefillah, it seems that there's something more there. There's something more in tefillah. It would seem that in tefillah, there's also a concept of a man making a demand upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, making a demand that something should be changed, and that, in other words, in his very petitioning of God for something, he has a right. There is an underlying right that he has to demand that a certain change should take place, you see. Up to now, we're just saying he doesn't really have a right to make the demand. It's just that the process of tefillah changes the person. What he does is he sets his goals for the right things, and asking God for the right things, he sets his goals for the right things, and therefore he effectuates a change. But it would seem that in tefillah itself, there is an underlying right that a person has to demand of God that a change should take place. And we'll show you some sources for that. That would be something that would be difficult for a person to understand. See, the idea that a person can raise himself to a higher level through bringing his requests in line with reality is not just found in tefillah, really. It's found in the brachas also, like Birchas Kohanim. Birchas Kohanim, Bracha Hashem Vishmerecha, the bracha that we receive. We don't do it every day. We receive the bracha on Yom Tovim. So that bracha, the Birchas Kohanim, you see, is based upon the same idea, because the halacha is that the bracha the bracha requires a kabbalah, which means to say that the person who's in shul at the time, must set his mind to what the kahanim are saying, and he must understand the bracha, listen to the bracha, be mekabel the bracha, and through that, the bracha is effective. Of course, the brichas kahanim is not a bracha from the kahanim. It's a bracha from Kadosh Baruch Hu that the Rambam already explained. Because the Rambam is, how could this kind of words be levarach a talmid chacham? Doesn't make any sense. Against the whole system. An ignorant Rambam should say a bracha and the talmid chacham is going to receive the bracha. Doesn't make it nonsensical. So the Rambam says that the pasuk says the sum was shumi al bnei Yisrael v'ani avarach. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the levarach. And the Kohen is just echoing the bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why you see the halacha is that the halacha is formed. The Kohen can't even say anything himself. He has to be fed the bracha. Yivarecha, the shatz feeds him the bracha, mila b'mila. And to make it obvious that the bracha is not really doesn't originate from the Kohen at all. He just makes the statements. And if the people listen and understand and listen and think into the bracha, the nature of the bracha, so then this effectuates a change in the person because he recognizes what the true values are, which are expressed in those three brachas, and therefore he's deservant of receiving the bracha. So that concept already you have in Berachas Kahanim. But in Tefillah it seems there's more than that. In Tefillah there's a right, it would seem, for a person to make a demand of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And this doesn't seem to make sense. How could a person make a demand of a Kadosh Baruch Hu? I mean, God is all-knowing, and therefore whatever God decides and determines should be the lot of an individual, it's according to his wisdom and according to his knowledge, and it would be absurd to say that a person should be able to step in and demand the change. Yet you find there is such a thing. For instance, the Gemara in Bracha says, the Gemara in Bracha says like this, the Gemara in Bracha says, it says, Va'ato hanicholi v'yicharapi bohem v'achalim v'ese oischol agoy gadol. It's an introduction to Vaicha. Vatanichli vicharpi ven vachal vesel ischol agagol vachal Moshe spnei Hashem lekov. Vayomer lo Hashem yecharap chabei mecha sheitzis meretz zayim biyachazok vechay agagol biyachazoka. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Avohu mole mikra kosev the efshila omro. If it wasn't for a pasuk, it would be impossible for a person to say this. Malamei chetofso Moshe laKadosh Baruch Hu. That Moshe Rabbeinu grabbed onto Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ka'odam shu tofes es chavero bevigdo. Yeah. Bevigdo. Oh, why go say, I say, Russia. Vata v'esa oischol, this, yeah. He's good, because the pasuk like this. The pasuk says, pasuk says, vata hanichol. Sorry, pasuk says, vata hanichol. V'yichar api bohem v'achalem. V'esa oischol, that's the introduction of v'achal. But the pasuk says, hanichol. So what does it mean? Amar Avil Amolei Mikra Kosev Yefshel Amar Malamed Shetofso Moshe LaKadosh Baruch Hu Godam Shu Tofes Es Chaver Bevigdo. It's that the Moshe Rabbeinu grabbed onto the Rabbeinu Shalom like a person grabs his friend by his coat, and he said Ein Ani Meinichacho Ad Shetimcho V'Sislach La. That's what he said. I'm not going to let you go unless you matter. That's what the pasuk says. So of course the Gemara says without a pasuk you can't say such a thing. What does the Gemara mean? Because the Gemara means that it's anthropomorphic. For anthropomorphism, we have no right to determine what the line is. We have no right to determine. Only the Torah can determine, because that's a dangerous area. So if it wasn't for the pasuk, so we'd never be able to say such an idea, number one, and certainly to express it that way. I mean, you have no right to you can't express such a thing. It's an anthropomorphic statement, so we can't express it in that manner. But the pasuk has a right to determine what the level, where precisely the guide is that you could say, which you could say Yad Hashem, you could say V'chora Af. Certain things the pasuk permitted for people, but that only God can determine where exactly the line is. So if it wasn't for pasuk, we'd never be able to say such a thing. But not only the statement, but the concept itself. That Malamed Shetofso Moshe Rabbeinu Kadosh Baruch Hu Kadosh Tefzu Bigdo. And he says to him, he says to God, I'm not going to let you go unless you Meichelam. What kind of a statement is this? What kind of thing? From this Chazal, you see that man can actually make a demand of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. What kind of sense does it make? Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what's best. So what right does man have to make a demand? It doesn't make any sense. Rabbin. Tzorchei Rabbin. But there's another Gemara. The Gemara says like this. Imro Sira, say it's Daf Lamed Aleph, that by Chana, Tfilas Chana. Imro Sira, Ba'oni Yamasecha. I don't remember the passage, I think that's what it is. Omra Balaza, Omra Chana Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ba'oni Shalom. Imro Mutif. If you see that I need a child, good. Zem Lav, Tira. You'll see. Elech Vestater Befnei Elkana Bailey. She says, I'll go and I'll be over Kinu Yistira. That's the process which sets up the Hilchus Sota. Vestat of Nekana Baila, the Chivin de Mistatana. Once I'll become a Sota, Mashkuli Me Sota. Ve'ia ta'osa ta'roscha plaster, shenema v'nikso v'nizro zora. Okay? And therefore, you're gonna be responsible, because you can't have the words of the Torah, can't be empty. So therefore, it says v'nikso v'nizro zora. Okay? So that's a tzorach yachid. That's a tzorach yachid. Tzorach yachid, and you see that Chana actually made a demand. She says, you don't answer me, and oh, fine. If not, tira. It's a threat. What kind of a concept is this, that a person can threaten a Kadosh Baruch Hu? About Klal Yisrael having a Navi, so she must follow that some Navi should arrive somewhere. Klal right, Yisrael. Why dafka from her? Why dafka from her? Okay. Then you have the Gemara by Choni HaMagil, Gemara in Tainus, that they asked Choni HaMagil and Spal for them for Geshamim. So he told them, he said, take the stoves out of the yards, because the water's going to come. And first it was Mispal, and God didn't answer him. Then he made a circle, and he said, I'm not leaving the circle until the rains come. And rains came, very light. He said, no, I want rains that fill up the Barasich and the Maras. Then it started to rain too much. He said, nope, lo zeh shalti. And the Gemara says, Chazal say, that they would put him in Cherem. If it wasn't for the fact that he's like a yeller ha-meschate lefnei aviv, that he's like a child that asks from his father, and his father answers him. So you see again, there's such a phenomenon. As a person having the ability to make a demand from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By Kabbonis, not a compromise. Because by Kabbonis, the person may have a primitive emotion. But the moment he comes to the base of Mikdash and he sees the halachic structure and the kayin and everything works going to halacha and there's no mysticism in the... There's nothing that caters to his crazy emotions. It's all halacha and it's all chachmas Hashem. And... then he leaves the mikdash, he's a different person. That the Yadis does, because you can't reach a person. It's impossible to reach a person on a lower level without working with his lower emotions. It's just logically impossible. That's why the Gemara says, Lolom Yilmaran Tara Filo Shalolishma. Bedafka, some say Bedafka Shalolishma. Bedafka Shalolishma. Because that's the only way he could do it at first. But then the moment he gets involved, so it raises him to a higher level. That's true. Over here, you can't say you're compromised. You say Moshe, exactly. You say Moshe Rabbeinu was on a low level. You're going to say that the Torah and the Torah doesn't permit a false idea. Does not permit a false idea. It permits him. It works with his emotions to bring him to the correct ideas, but it never permits a false idea. So you can't say that really it's a nonsensical thing to demand of God, but the Torah permits it because man is crazy. Now, the Torah makes certain concessions to a person's nature in order to bring him to a situation where he understands the true ideas, but it never makes a concession when it comes to an idea itself. Never will allow a man to have a false idea and walk away with a false idea and think this is the emes. That will never permit. And if you're going to say that this is, and besides, talking about Moshe Rabbeinu here, not talking about Stamma person, talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, talking about Chana, I mean, it's impossible to say that this is, it's impossible to say such an idea altogether. Yadis does not make compromise. Yadis is a difficult religion, because Yadis doesn't satisfy the emotions, the primitive emotions of man. It forces man to leave those emotions unsatisfied. He doesn't know what Dashgach is. And he doesn't know what's going to happen to him. And he can't have any sense of security, the type of security that he's looking for. Because you see, even the biggest tzaddikim, things occur to them that we wouldn't want happen to us. So there's no such thing. Yadis does not give a man a primitive type of security. Doesn't do it. Does not do it. You don't know. We don't know what Dashgach is. Don't know. And even the greatest tzaddik can live through a situation that we would never want to live through. There's no such thing in Yadas. If you're from, you keep the mitzvahs, you're guaranteed that such and such a type of life you're going to have. No such thing. The Yadas does not satisfy the primitive part of man. It keeps a man frustrated. It keeps a man frustrated on the primitive level. But it introduces him to another world, which is the real world of the highest level, and that's what it gives him. And if he can take it, he can take it. If not, he can't. And that's why, see, most of the world couldn't take it. That's why there's so few. On the contrary, see, the tefillah that he was misfollow was really for tefillah for Saddam. That he was misfollow. For himself, you don't see he was misfollow. In the psukkim, it doesn't say anyway that he was misfollow for to have a child. It's like you say. What? Apparently, Avraham Avinu didn't demand. And you see, on the contrary, when God told him he's going to have a child, he left. Didn't expect it. Not going to happen. That's why tefillah is considered avdus. It's considered avodah shebelev. Because the mere fact that I ask God shows me that I know that he's the source, that he's the one that's the right being to approach. That's true. But that's true. But that's true if you say I make a request, but what's the nature of my request? My request is to bring in line my needs into the proper framework so that I'll be deserving of a change. That I understand, but that's not a demand. That's not a demand. That's different. That means I have a right as bederach. As a matter of fact, that's what the question they ask is, say, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Zarasecha. How could a person say Hashiveinu Avinu L'Zarasecha? We say that everything is beyond Hashem except Chutzmiyah Shemayim. So we So what kind of a thing is this? So the answer is, I think the Marashah says, they all say, the answer is because Bederach Shodom Rotsa Leilach Malichnasa. That God, the Ashgacha, takes a person along the path that he wants to travel. So it means to say, when I say Hashiveinu Avinu L'Zarasecha, it means that I clarify in my mind what my goals are. So my petition is really more, not so much that I'm asking God to effectuate a change, a magical change that I should suddenly be about you. It means to say that I'm recognizing the importance of tshuva, and I'm asking God for assistance so that he can help me in the path that I'm choosing. So once I choose the path, then God will assist me. So that's the nature of the request, a different kind of request. It's not really a demand. It's a request, which means I'm clarifying my needs, and I'm asking God to assist me in whatever's necessary in order for that change to become a full-fledged change. That's a different thing. It's a different kind of request. But a demand is something completely different. Right there's God, because through the process of clarifying what he really wants, then his tefillah will be answered, because the process is going to change him. So it's a... It's a circular kind of a process. He clarifies what he wants, what his proper needs are, and then because he does that, then he is deserving of the change. But that's not a demand. That's a different kind of a thing. The problem is, in other words, the solution to this problem is that you have to revise your whole idea of what tefillah is, what tefillah HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. It requires a revision. Now, first of all, I'd say like this. Now, you see, it's an interesting thing, but the Gemara says in Brachas, the Gemara learns out tefillah from the Avos. The Gemara in the Chof Avon Beis in Brachas. Okay? Itmar, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Chaninama, tefillos Avos Tiknum. All right, so the Gemara says that where do you see that tefillos Avos Tiknum? It says, Avram tikin tefillah shachar. Shenema vayashkem Avram babokra alamokom asher omad shom es pnei Hashem. The Gemara says, "Ain't a midel tefillah." What does it mean? Omad lefnei Hashem. That's tefillah. Then the Gemara says, proves it. Shenema vayamod pinchas vayapalel. Yitzchok tikin tefillah smincha. Shenema vayetsa Yitzchok losuach basod lefnei Zara. Yitzchok went out to speak in the field. So what is to speak in the field? So the Gemara says, "Vein sicha l'tfila." Tfila sicha means tfila. How do you know? Because it says, "Tfila loni kiyato v'lefnei Hashem yishpoch sicha." So you see, that's what Yitzchak was doing. Who was he talking to in the field? Nobody was there. He was talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's tfila. And then it says, "Sicha is not limited to tfila," but the Gemara says the word sicha can mean tfila, and therefore when it says, "Vayetze Yitzchak l'suach basod v'lefnos orev." So Chazal say that what he was doing was, he was being mispowered. Then the Gemara says, Yaakov tikin tfilas arvis. Shenema vayifga b'mokom vayoran sham. Vayifga b'mokom. All right? What does vayifga b'mokom mean? So the Gemara says, vayin pigiya la tfilah. Shenema v'ato al tespal ba'adom azeh. Valtisa ba'adom rino utfilah. Valtivgabi. What does altivgabi mean? Don't disturb me. Don't bother me. So pigiya is a pigiya is also considered tfilah. That's an interesting thing. The Gemara derives tefillah from Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, right? But you see that there's three kinds of tefillah. There's tefillah of Vayamod, of Amida. That's tefillah. It's not accidental that these three psukim represent tefillah. But the three psukim, the tefillah of Avram, the tefillah of Yitzchak, and the tefillah of Yaakov, really represent the characteristics of tefillah. Not just accidental that these psukim express themselves in this way, you see. So the first pasuk is Amida. What does it mean? It means that the essence of tefillah. The essence of tefillah is Amida l'fnei Hashem. The person recognizes, that's what Chaim says. If the person doesn't have that idea throughout the entire tefillah, there's no tefillah altogether. Yes, no. He may forget what he may not understand the words, and he may forget what he's saying. But as long as he said it and he had the awareness that he's l'fnei Hashem, it's a tefillah. But that awareness must be throughout the entire Shemoneh Esrei, according to the Rambam. Okay. Because that's the concept of tefillah. Concept of tefillah is amida l'fnei Hashem. The second the concept of tefillah is lasuach, to speak. Lasuach really means to speak. You see? To speak. So, vayetzeh Yitzchak lasuach basod l'fnei Sorev, Chazal say he went out to be mespalel. He went out to be mespalel. Yeah. Question. Maybe he went out to, because the sikh was also Torah. Yeah. But apparently Chazal interpreted the pasuk that he could learn in his house. Means he went out to do something, a special activity. That's why they say it must mean that he went out to be mispal. But the Rav one time mentioned that tefillah is a one-way dialogue. It's a one-way dialogue. Okay. No, it's not. It's a dialogue, but you only know the one side. But that's sicha. That's sicha. So apparently the concept of tefillah is communicating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the second concept of tefillah. Tefillah is amid l'fnei Hashem, and the act of communicating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, communicating with God, that raises a person to a different level. That's sicha, you see. But then there's a third type of tefillah. Vayifga b'makom, pegiya. Pegiya means, al tifgabi, don't bother me. Pegiya means demand, a demand. There's a concept apparently of a demand in tefillah also. See that from the way the Torah expressed the threefold aspects of tefillah. You see, so you see again that there's, that this concept is exists in tefillah. What is the concept? Pshat. What is the pshat? I would say it's pegiya. You don't find too often. It's rare. Like the Gemara says, "Umoli mikra kasev, v'ato anichalu." You find it rarely. By Chana, you find it. You find it by Avraham Avinu. He sort of made a demand. Chalila lecha, shofik al aris liyasa mishpat. See? So Yad just maintains that a person has a right to speak to a better world. By Choni Amagel. But it's a rare thing. That's why Chazal said they'd put him in Chayram. If it wasn't for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers his tefillah, they'd put him in Chayram. It's a rare thing. Concept. I would tell you this. The concept of pegiya only applies to an individual, only applies in certain circumstances. And it's based on a principle. It means like this, that a person who has the knowledge, first of all, a person who has the metaphysical knowledge is necessary, but the main thing in tefillah is, I mean, people aren't aware of it, and people don't seem to be too concerned about it, but the main thing in tefillah is that a person's ideas concerning HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be the correct ideas. People aren't usually too concerned about that, but that is of primary importance. Amid l'fnei Hashem, he has to have the proper idea of Hashem. He has to know the Yud Gimel Karim. He has to know the Ikri Ados. He has to know certain basic things about Kadosh Baruch Hu. Otherwise, he's not l'fnei Hashem. L'fnei Hashem is not a physical phenomenon because the person just puts his feet together. He's not l'fnei Hashem. L'fnei Hashem is an ideational concept. So he has to know basic ideas of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Like the Rambam explains in the beginning of the Mor Nevuchim, the person should know, as he says, it's not a matter of abstract philosophy, but a person should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no emotions, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't know, we have no idea, positive idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We must know what we don't know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We must know in what way we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is the nature of our relationship? He's a Borei Olam, Yetzar V'Choshech, Shalom V'Ko. He's the one that's Nosin Tor Olam O Yisrael. These are the ways that we can relate to. He's Lekei Avram, Lekei Yitzchor, Lekei Yaakov. That's the way. That's why in the beginning, Ken Lekei Avram, Lekei Yitzchor, Lekei Yaakov. Because those are the ideas that relate us to God. Nothing more. The more is bad. More is destructive. Just the basic ideas of that are necessary for us to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's extremely important. So a person who's on a greater person has a greater knowledge, and a person who's on the proper level of metaphysical knowledge, he understands that Yaakov to a higher degree. A person's on a higher level, and an individual who also knows that he's under the Hashgacha. That's the second requirement. The second requirement is that the individual should know that he's under the Hashgacha, and the third requirement would be. I don't mean in order. The third requirement should be first. Third requirement is that the person has an accurate knowledge of his own nature. A person has fulfills those three requirements. He has the metaphysical knowledge. He has an accurate knowledge of his own nature. And he knows that he's on the level, that he's under Hashgachas Hashem. Then he has a right to make a demand. What gives him the right to make that demand? So this is the right he has to make the demand is simply because he's a creation of God. A creation of God has the right to demand, to make a demand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should create him in the manner that it's possible for him to live properly, because we always say that no sin lechem lechol basa, but that's the paseches dechem avil chokai rotzon. It means that Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't create his creatures, didn't make his creatures in a way that they can't satisfy their needs. This would be an imperfection in the Yotzer Kol, be an imperfection in the Borei Olam. So therefore, if a person is living a life where it's impossible for him to have satisfaction and to attain what is necessary in life, then he has a right to make a demand. And that was really the demand of Chana. What was Chana's demand? See, Chana had a very, very strong maternal instincts. She simply couldn't cope. That's what the prophet said, that she went every year to Shiloh, and Yom Yamimo, and she was always depressed. And as much as Elkanah tried to make her feel good, tried to appease her, it didn't work. She simply couldn't function. So that's why she was mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should give her a child to satisfy her maternal instincts. But she said that I will v'anochi shaltil ad Hashem. I'm not going to use it just to satisfy my instincts, but I'll use it in order to create a Navi B'Yisrael, a great Navi. So what her tefillah was, that she will take her maternal instincts, which are on the lower level, and she'll convert them to the highest possible level. She won't even really satisfy them in the normal way, you see, because she gave them up. She brought them to Shiloh after 2 years, and that was it. But she had to have the satisfaction. She had to give some satisfaction to the maternal instinct. Otherwise, she couldn't do it. She was unable to continue. And that's why she made the demand. The demand was that she simply was in a situation that she couldn't function, and therefore, as a creature, she has a right to demand of God that He makes a change in order that she can exist, in order that her existence should have meaning, because God doesn't create beings, God doesn't create creatures without any meaning. That would be an imperfection, because since he is perfect, so everything that he creates has a purpose. There's no such thing, as the Rambam says, as malachas avtala. God doesn't create something for nothing. That's kfira, to maintain that things just exist for no purpose. Okay? There still is one important question. The question is, But God is Yodeakol. God knows all. So since God knows all, so how is the situation possible? You can explain why a person can have a demand. Yes, you can answer that, why you have the earth creature. And if you're on the level of knowledge where you understand, insofar as possible, insofar as humanly possible, you have the knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But to us, we are far removed. We're very far removed, because that's what the Pasuk says in the Torah, that the Jews asked Moshe Rabbeinu, that Dabar V'ata Dabar Elayno, you see, because they couldn't tolerate a direct relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That meant that they couldn't constantly be in the process of recognizing that they were Lifnei Hashem. It's too, they weren't on the level. It's too burdensome for them. They V'ata Dabar Elayno. Moshe Rabbeinu tell us, and that's it. Sometimes we could be We could relate to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Sometimes we can't, unable to. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. He felt bad because he said that the he said Tosha Shekocho Kinekeva. He said I want that you should be over in Me'ava, but I see you can only be over in Me'ira. So yeah, the point is that with regard to a person that's on a high level, a Kaddish Baruch Hu is not an extraneous phenomena. A Kaddish Baruch Hu is not an extraneous phenomena, but on the contrary, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really the center of everything that the person is involved in. You see? The very center. For us, we are involved in our emotions, our emotional life. That's the center. And then, the Chacham Masakin, like the Rambam says, the Chacham Masakin, Tfilis and Brachas, why? Lizkar HaBorei Tamid, the Rambam says. Lizkar HaBorei Tamid means that we have to have a certain amount of reality. So a person's involved in nonsense all the time. So the Chacham Masakin, that a certain X amount of time in the day a person should be in the world of reality, that means a recognition of God. Because that's the center of reality. That's the essence of reality. Everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So for us, we need that takon. We need that takon because we slip in, we slip out. That's the idea of the mezuzah. As the Rambam says, see the mezuzah? So you remind yourself about what's important. Ain't no midlal, no midlal, no yidias Hashem. And for that moment, you're brought to reality. And then you hold up with the tracha. But then you just have to come back and see this again. It slips in, slips out. That's the level that we're on. We're on a level where we're not constantly with Nei Hashem. See? But a person who's on a high level, God is not an extraneous phenomenon. He doesn't say, now, I'm going to be mispoil to God. Which means to say, till now, I'm involved in my own world. But now I'm going to leave my world, and now I'm going to, I need something in my world. So now I have to go to God to change my world. You see? That's the average person. But a person that's on a high level, God is his constant reality. God is his constant reality. Because that is his essence. his very essence, the essence of his life, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, it means like this. It means that tefillah is a natural process. He has to ask God for what he needs. And for his demands, it is something which he can't not do. You understand what I mean? The point is, let me put it more clearly. If the person would not be mispalo, it would never occur. Why not? Because if he wouldn't be mispalo, it would mean that he would not be acting in accordance with the nature of his existence. Not to be mispalo would be acting not in accordance with the nature of his existence. It means that there's a world without God. He perceives an existence outside the framework of God. But a person whose existence is integrally related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by nature, if he needs something, if something is disturbing him, by the way, this tefillah of Pegiah is only apparently if something is disturbing him to the point where he can't exist. That's like Moshe Rabbeinu, Lata Hanichali. That's why, because he, as a leader, it was impossible for him, as a leader, his whole essence as a leader, demanded that he has to save Klal Yisrael, you see. So a person, for him it was for the Klal, for Chana it was personal, but it's the same idea. It means to say that such individuals are constantly in the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu is a constant reality. So therefore, the tefillah is not an extraneous move. See, for us, tefillah is an extraneous move. We move from our own world into tefillah because something is lacking in our own world. So we approach God, now we come back. We expect something so we can come back. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the constant reality, so then the demand of the Borei Olam is a necessary part of man's nature. He's just acting in accordance with his nature. It's not an extraneous activity which is imposed upon him because of some external need, but rather it's a natural expression of his existence, because what could be more natural than a person who is in need of something for his existence, who's constantly aware of God, to turn to God and to ask him for that, for what he needs. That it has to be that way. He has to be misfollowed. You understand what I mean? It's not a calculated action in order to achieve and to attain something through... It's a natural result of his state of being, you see? If he is not misfollowed, it won't occur. Because if he's not misfollowed, it means that he's not on that level. That means that he lives in a world which doesn't involve a relationship with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you see? So that's why you could have a tefila of the altifgabi, vayifgabamakom. You could have that kind of a tefila. It's possible under those conditions which we've mentioned. You see from Chazal that it's rare, chani amagel, it's rare, but if a person is on that level, then it is possible for him to make that demand. And on the contrary, if he doesn't make that demand, it means that he's not on that level. You see? That's what it means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is misavah for tefillah tzaddikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu misavah for tefillah shel tzaddikim. It means that the tzaddik, in formulating his tefillah, in formulating in this act of demand, the tzaddik reaches the full realization of his existence. Full realization of his existence and his relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the highest level of realization of his relationship to the Borei Olam. It's not a calculated external activity, because as a calculated external activity, it doesn't make any sense, because we're monafshach. Either I deserve it or I don't deserve it. But as a natural unfoldment of his nature as a tzaddik, the act of tefillah is impossible to avoid. It's impossible not to be misfollowed. And the tzaddik in that act of tefillah reaches the fulfillment and the realization of the essence of his existence. See? Even the greatest person can have a certain instinctual makeup, and that which they simply can't obliterate. They can't obliterate. If I'm not mistaken, I don't remember where I saw it. I remember many years ago I saw it in the Rambam. The Rambam says that certain things in man's nature, no matter how great a tzaddik a person is, he can't overcome. And he mentions David HaMelech. He says David HaMelech needed to go out to war. His aggressive instinct, he couldn't overcome. And Shlomo HaMelech, with regard to Nashim, he mentions, was unable to overcome the certain basic part of his nature. So you see the Yadis mean, in other words, a person only the one that was able to overcome every single aspect of his personality, and to be completely direct all energies to the highest goal, to involvement with Chachmas Hashem, with Moshe Rabbeinu. The only one. Moshe Rabbeinu is Kismuras Hashem Yabit. That's only Moshe Rabbeinu was able to direct every bit of energy insofar as humanly possible to be constantly involved in Chachmas Hashem. No other being was able to do it, and nobody will be able to reach that level. Perfection is totally different. Person is not under the Ashgacha, so then of course it doesn't make any sense, because he has no demand to begin with. Because what is the demand? The demand is that God can't create an imperfect creature. So if a person is under Ashgachas Hashem, so then it's true. But if a person is not under Ashgachas Hashem, then it doesn't make any sense. Because the point is, who says that his existence is here for his own purpose? His existence could be as a part of a klal. How do you know it's for him? If he knows that he's under Ashgacha and that his existence is for his own sake, then it makes sense to feel it. But if he doesn't know, so then maybe he's only existing for somebody else, for another tzaddik. How do you know? How does he know his existence is there for himself? So the demand doesn't make any sense altogether. There's a good question. The person doesn't know whether he's under Ashgacha, because even Yaakov, Mova Hashem Yivim Achait, and Yeshem. But the point, I guess, a person can know whether his existence is for his own self, or whether his existence is merely an accident or something else. That a person can know. Okay? Doesn't mean that a person can't know, even the greatest tzaddik can't know, that every moment he's under Ashgacha. That the Rambam explains clearly. But that his existence is for his own self, that is possible for a person. How does he know it? The answer is, when he knows it, he knows it. He has to be on that level in order to explain such a knowledge. It's impossible to explain it. It's impossible to explain it, but let's put it this way. There are certain people that have that knowledge. Okay? Tefillah itself. It's the act of tefillah is merely a manifestation of his whole relationship to Kadosh Baruch Hu. An aspect. It's an aspect of the whole relationship to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is the Al Tosef Daber Leod Badavraze. Al Tosef Daber Leod Badavraze. So apparently sometimes, even if that has to do with the essence, with his essence, there are other considerations which don't permit it, override it. And that was the consideration of Kol Yisrael. That was with Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu said, the Pasuk says, an interesting Pasuk. Why wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu's request granted to go into Eretz Yisrael, really? Why wasn't it? I mean, Varam Aleph Lamed Zayin. Gam bi yitzanaf Hashem biglal cham lemor. Gam ato lo sovo shomo. Okay? What's the shot? How can Moshe Rabbeinu blame Klal Yisrael? Moshe, was it his chayt or not? I mean, was it because of his sin or not? You say it wasn't because of his sin, so God's not just. I mean, God blames Moshe gives Moshe an onus because of the Jews. That's not fair. Kol Rechav Mishpat. How is such a thing possible? So what's the answer? The answer is, when Moshe Rabbeinu said, Gam bi yisana farashem beglalcham lemar, what he meant to say was that my request couldn't be granted because of you, because of your situation. In other words, really Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah would have been answered. It would have been answered because he had a right to he was on the highest level and he had a right to the mispalel, and he mispalel properly, and the tefillah should be answered. But the only thing is there were other considerations. The other considerations were Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael weren't worthy of having Moshe Rabbeinu lead them in. And that's why it says, Gam bi yisanaf ad Hashem biglalchem lemar. Because of you, that's why my tefillah couldn't be answered. So you see that even a person who was on the highest level, Moshe Rabbeinu, who makes such a tefillah and has a right to make the tefillah, not always will it be granted. There may be other considerations which will prevent it. See, when he was mispalel for Klal Yisrael, Vata Hanichali, then the situation was good, and he was able to be answered. But in this case, he wasn't. He had demands. The tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu going to Eretz Yisrael was definitely a demand. V'eschanan el Hashem, b'yitzeh lema. Moshe is mispalel, minyan tefillahs, k'minyan v'eschanan, mispalel hundreds of tefillahs. So the Torah gives you signs to know which tefillahs are such. Not every tefillah is that one. See the nature of the demand. He had a right to make that demand because he knew exactly what justice was, and he had a right to make the demand according to the way he understood his understanding of justice, which was a correct one. Because God always said, So you see, he knew exactly what the proper level, what the proper gauge of justice was. He knew exactly. But God told him it wasn't so. And that's it.